2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
Everybody, this is your DFS Army Daily Dispatch brought to you by DFSArmy.com, and this is the Kickers Corner. Yes, we know kickers are people too, but guess what? They help you win money, so that makes them important people. Joining me, as always, the kicker guru himself, Private Aaron. How are we doing today, Aaron?
We are doing wonderful. It's going to be a great week.
Good. I'm glad. I always like hearing that you think it's going to be a great week, because that means that you're pretty confident in the fact that nobody's going to lay a goose egg.
Well, I think there's going to be lots of goose eggs. I'm just not on them. So that's the...
That's always the good thing to know, is that we are not touting people that are on goose, or that have the chance of giving you goose eggs. So
yeah, that's my number one goal. No zeros.
If we can go, I don't foresee it happening, but if we can go the whole season without recommending anybody to roster a kicker that gives them a zero, then we'll be very, very good.
Barring injury, I think I can pull off no zeros. I don't give any guarantees over 3 points, though.
Yeah, we had a three-point guy last week, so.
Yeah.
All right, let's get right into it and dive right into it here. First thing we're going to do is apologize for not getting this out to you guys last week as well. Schedules just kind of didn't meet up. I had some family stuff that I had to take care of, and by the time that everything kind of got around to it, it was Saturday afternoon, and we were like, oh, crap. So that didn't work out. So accept our apologies, because we know that you guys like your kicker talk.
It's all my fault. If I had a normal schedule, then we'd be good. But because I work such weird hours and I live such a weird life, it's my fault. Just
Dude, blame it on me. I'm up at 2 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday night talking to kickers, talking about kickers. Don't tell me that you have a weird schedule.
But I'm up at 1 o'clock in the morning researching.
You don't
kickers.
Sleep though.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Ay. All right. So. Just accept our apologies. We should be good to go here on out. I don't foresee any issues, but we never can fully guarantee it. But 98.9% of the time, we should be able to have this to you guys out there Friday mornings at the latest. So right about the time that his kicker article pops, you should be getting a podcast that kind of explains a little bit to go about it as well. So let's go over last week's list. High guy on the weekend was I almost called him DeAndre Hopkins, though.
See, hey, don't call him DeAndre Hopkins. Call him the Red Hopkins.
Yeah. Call him the what?
The right Hopkins.
Oh, see, the right Hopkins. That's what it is. I thought you said the red Hopkins.
No, he's the Hopkins who's actually performing to value.
That's just because he's so damn cheap.
Well, yeah, and his price hasn't gone up, and I don't think it's ever going to go up. The man could score 40 points, and his price would stay at 4,500.
I can't argue with that, because I can't even tell you what goes into kicker equation pricing or anything like that. So we are talking about Dustin Hopkins, kicker obviously for the Washington Redskins. And it's funny, because if you go to FanDuel and you click on kickers and you sort for the main slate for kickers average fantasy points per game, there are two people that hit the top. They happen to be the two highest scoring kickers last week.
Yes.
Dustin Hopkins, who gets the Cleveland Browns this week, and Justin Tucker. So, and they were, lo and behold, shocker, both on the list last week.
And here's the real weirdness is Tucker is 5,100 and Hopkins is 4,500.
Yep. And Tucker gets the I think it's a I love Tucker. He gets the Oakland Raiders. They're both in great spots. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think they're both in fantastic spots this weekend.
Definitely.
You know, and I haven't even full disclosure, as we always do it, I do not read your kicker article until we do the podcast, because I've got kickers wrote down that I have to ask you about,
and works
I don't
for me.
I don't sway from that. So, we'll get over to that here in a second. Next up was a couple kickers that probably disappointed that we didn't think were going to. Graham Gano and Chris Boswell. 5 and 4 points respectively. Chris Boswell, that's an outlier. He was game flowed out of the game in the midway through the second quarter.
Boswell has been game flowed out of the game every week so far. And funny enough, the problem has been complete opposites. The first 2 weeks, the offense was moving so well that they didn't need him. And then last week, the offense couldn't move the ball, so they couldn't use him.
Yeah, so we want that mid-level, that in-between. And I don't know if this is the week that we're going to get it.
I've added Boswell to my fade list until we get some more production out of him, which means if you're listening to this, play the hell out of him, because I added him to my fade list.
So. Yeah, as I'm watching the replay of the Thursday night game right now, you know, Mike Nugent, dude's still kicking it. I mean, he had what, 3 field goals tonight, a couple extra points. I mean, he kind of killed it tonight.
He did. He was a 19 point play. I think he was 4,500. So if you played the Thursday night slate, one thing to note, none of my kicker write-ups ever include Thursday, and now none of them include Monday. They also don't include the early morning. I just focus on the main slate because that's all I play on FanDuel. If DraftKings had kickers, I would focus on more. With that said, he was 4,500 and scored you 19 points. If you were to put him into a flex-type position, that would be amazing, which is why I've been arguing kickers are people too. Because it's a $4,500 flex that can go for 20 points. I mean, get on the game, people. Let's get these kickers going.
Yeah.
Love thy kicker.
I'm starting to come around a little bit. I'm not as gung-ho about getting rid of them as I used to be. I'm really not. It's funny. I only played 2 lineups in the for the Thursday through Monday slate on FanDuel. Both of them in the Playboy qualifier, and the guy in first place, it's a completely stupid lineup. He's got 88 points. He must feel like a hot mess because he's got the currently in first place thing by his name, but he did have Mike Nugent, and Mike Nugent was 4.9% owned at 19 points. I think that's a fantastic value. I love it. I wish I would have thought about it, but I went with another guy. I went with Blair Walsh in one of my lineups, paired him with the Minnesota Vikings defense. I think that's a great correlation play. And I like Blair Walsh because nobody else does. And because he's been kind of rocky, I went strictly for an ownership play in a controlled environment paired with my defense, who just happens to be my Monday Night Hammer.
I think Blair Walsh is a fine, safe option to go with.
You're just saying that.
No. I mean, here's the thing. His leg isn't terrible. He can get from range. He can get some range. Minnesota's moving the ball pretty well. New York Giants have shown pretty good red zone stoppage, so I could definitely see him getting plenty of use. And again, we talked about having that Monday night hammer kicker that nobody sees coming. So I think with the defense, and even if you had it with the defense and then Diggs stacked on top of that, it wouldn't be a terrible option because Diggs is going to get him to the red zone and he's going to score the points. So
yeah, I
not the greatest correlation stack there, but
yeah, because if Dig gets in the end zone, then yeah, my kicker gets 1 point, but I want my kicker to be able to have the opportunity to get 3, 4, and 5. And I know just because I don't roster Diggs or Bradford or, you know, Jarrett McKinnon or Kyle Rudolph or anything like that doesn't mean that, you know, Blair's getting those points. But with that said,
it puts more pressure on the game flow.
Yeah.
You could also have Diggs get 3 touchdowns, the game be such a blowout that Walsh just kicks everything going forward after the first quarter, too, in theory.
Yeah, I mean, if...
But again, we're just asking for a lot of game flow.
Yeah, that's if they go to a conservative, you know, play-calling approach, which I think if Minnesota scores, New York's going to be scoring, too. I also wouldn't mind the opposite side of that as well, just because the Minnesota Vikings defense is, you know, in my opinion, a top five defense. I don't mind Josh Brown in that same spot either. So just something to kind of think about going forward. I was actually thinking of you when I did this little correlation play, because I know that we had talked about it on the podcast 2 weeks ago, having that Monday Night Hammer that's a kicker. Yeah, it's not like having, you know, Antonio Brown on Monday night or you know, something like that, but you're getting a low owned play, and hopefully one of these days a kicker is going to win me a Q like a kicker lost me a Q last year. So
it's bound to happen.
I'm looking for the karma play on that one. So
I think it's a great play if you're playing the Monday night slate. Obviously it's too late to do much of anything. If you're playing Sunday, Monday, Walsh is a fine kicker. There are kickers that I like more than Walsh, but it's not because Walsh is a bad play. There's some kickers. I'm in love with this leak.
Yep. Let's start talking about some of those kickers here. I've got a lot of cash games going on FanDuel this weekend. Okay. And here's the crazy thing is I am stuck. I really, really, really want to pay for Gostkowski. And I really, really, really want to pay for Tucker because they have yet to do me wrong this year. Here's the issue I have. Gostkowski is going to – I like him, and the reasoning I like him is because of the fact that, you know, you're looking at an offense that, one, we still don't know who's going to be the quarterback. And that means that if we don't know who the quarterback's going to be, we have the ability to possibly maybe get a little cute and hope that they can't punch it in the end zone.
Well, hope that they can't move it past the 30. So if they get it in the red zone, Blunt's just going to run steamroll over everybody and get touchdown after touchdown like he has been. Because that man is like a car. I swear, I don't know how he has that ability to run through people. But, I mean, you're not wrong. Gostkowski is a great cash. I actually have him listed as a cash minus. I made it up just for him. Only because we don't know who the quarterback's going to be. We could end up with him doing 20 kicks. We could end up with him doing 2. We could end up with him not needing to be kicked for anything but extra points. This is a game where we get a lot of... Anytime these two teams meet with the head coaches that are currently there, it's an interesting game. So, with that said, I do have him as cash. But for 5,200, I honestly think you're better off dropping down. You can go Bailey for 46. Save some money. Upgrade that defense or that running back. You could go Hopkins, 4,500. And I actually have Tucker listed as a GPP play, mostly because while he's scoring left and right, his leg has been showing good. He's too pricey for the inconsistency of Baltimore's offense. So with that said, I have Tucker as a little bit more of a risky option with some upside, but.
Okay. I mean, I like that. I mean, you're talking about an offense that's going against one of the worst defenses in football right now. It's just kind of one of those things that you kind of look for. are they actually going to move the ball far enough down the field to where we have the opportunity to score? And I don't, there's not a, Oakland's one of those teams where you can pretty much know that teams are going to move the ball against them. So,
well, I mean, but to be fair, so is Cleveland, and
oh, I know
Baltimore struggled to move the ball down the field against Cleveland. Now Tucker ended up with a nice game.
Did they?
It wasn't until
the
second half where they really got the ball going.
Yeah, Cleveland jumped out to that early lead, and then I remember what you're saying now. I was because I was thinking, I was like, Miami played Cleveland last week. What are you talking about?
2 weeks back, 2 weeks back.
Yeah,
they actually have a great offense, Baltimore. It's kind of one of those where they have so many great pieces, they're just not gelling yet. And one of the things that I wrote about is I'm actually, for the price, one of the other things that worries me is not just Baltimore's lack of moving the ball, but at some point, all those pieces are going to come together and work. And when that happens against a team like Oakland, there might not be any kicks needed for a change. Tucker is scoring so many points because they're getting it to where it's a 50-yard kick and he's the only option left, because they're just not able to get that next first down. So it's one of those where, Tucker's a great play. He's just a little on the risky side for cash in my book, because we don't know that. I don't like question marks when it comes to kickers. They are so game flow dependent. I want to have a better understanding of the game myself. So, and whenever I have questions on both the defense, like the offensive side moving the ball, as well as the offensive side moving the ball too well, that's why Boswell's on the fade. It's not that Pitt's a bad team. It's just they're moving the ball too well, and then they're moving the ball not at all. We're going to get that happy medium.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's a great point. You know, it's we don't always want touchdowns when we have to roster kickers. I talked about this. I've talked about this a lot, especially if you're making multiple lineups in GPPs. Kind of having, you know, have the if you're on a guy or you're on a team to score touchdowns, which if they're on your fantasy team, they better you better think that they have the ability to at least get in the end zone. You know, have your kickers kind of work in conjunction with those. And the reasoning I'm saying this is, you know, a lot of new players, they come into the game, they come into DFS, and, you know, say they make five lineups. Well, they make five lineups just completely off, you know, just non. They have no correlation between the actual lineups. So basically what they're doing is they're making five lineups and hoping that one hits. Well, we need to get past that thinking, and we need to create lineups that, you know, kind of, if you're making multiple lineups in GPPs, they can kind of work off of each other, you know, so where all of them can be pushed up, you know, the leaderboard at the same time with your core.
Oh, definitely. I'm a big fan of like the three max entries, the $3 three max. Mm-hmm. And one of my favorite things to do the last couple of weeks, it's been working well for me, is if I have a quarterback tight end stack on one of them, I'll throw a wide receiver in the next one and the opponent's wide receiver in that one, and then do a different quarterback stack wide receiver. And then what happens is if my quarterback hits to the wide receiver, one of my lineups goes up. If the game goes really well, then all of my players go up. It's been working really well that if my quarterback goes well, then everybody does well. And both lineups go well. And then I do one lineup that's completely off of those two, so that if I am completely wrong on game flow, that lineup still has a chance to go off. So it's been working really well. Last week I got two out of my three actually across the cash line in the three max. One for decent money and one for nothing, but like the first entry level. So that worked out well, because again, I had that where I had my quarterback cover two lineups basically. So
yeah, I mean, it's something that we're, you know, I think people kind of overlook a little bit, and I don't think that I don't think you're maximizing your potential if you don't keep all of your lineups in mind when you are making your entries. Now I understand, you know, things get hectic on Sunday mornings, especially when stuff happens, and we kind of forget. But if we get into a habit, then, you know, good practices create good habits, which ultimately should lead to good outcomes. So let's talk about a guy that has made your list now again. We just talked about him here a little bit. He let us down a little bit last week. Graham Gano. What do you like about him this week?
All right, so Gano's always going to be a hit or miss kicker, but he always puts up pretty good scores, and the reason for that is because of how good Carolina is at moving the ball. Between Cam running it, all the receiving weapons, a couple of good running backs. Of course, we've lost a couple of those pieces. But he got some back this year that he didn't have last year as well. So they're very good at moving the ball, and he can kick from distance. It's not uncommon for Gano to have more 50-yard kick attempts than just about any other kicker. So he makes the list quite often. Last week he was a disappointment. But I do have to say, I did not buy in on Minnesota's defense until last week. I buy them now. I bought the shares a little too late, so it hurt me a tad bit. But I did not think that they were going to be good enough to stop Carolina's high-powered offense. I didn't think they were Denver quality. And even Denver didn't stop them. They slowed them down, but they didn't stop them. Minnesota stopped them. That was impressive. So that's why he's back on the list, because he'll pretty much be on the list just about every week, minus really bad matchups or Cam getting hurt or wide receiver here or there, Olsen going down, which can't happen, tap on wood, because Olsen's like my staple in season long. So, but Gano will pretty much be in every lineup. He's cash safe most weeks. He's almost always decently priced because he does have a terrible accuracy rating compared to most kickers. But again, he gets so many kicks that when he misses 250-yarders, he still hits 350-yarders. So, okay, missed two, I'll take the three, you know? So
yeah, exactly.
He gets more 50-yarder attempts than just about anybody, so that helps. I'm going to start watching him closely, because one thing that does worry me is Carolina's defense has not been as strong this year. And that was another place where he did get a lot of extra attempts. So if we don't see Carolina defense stiffen up a little bit, we might have to dump him down to GPP. But again, even just as GPP, he'll probably be in almost every list.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. I can't give you analysis on kicker accuracy or anything like that, but when you lose Josh Norman and you're starting a rookie and a second-year corner, and they are just not getting the job done, and your front seven isn't getting pressure, I mean, you have the ability to allow a lot more touchdowns rather than, stop them inside the 30 or the red zone or, you know, the green zone or whatever, and force guys to kick field goals. So I do agree with that. It's something that I didn't expect it would be this bad, but it is something that has definitely caught my attention. So,
oh yeah, I do have Gano as an 8-point minimum floor player this week. I think he gets 150-yarder and 3 extra points on the minimum side. He could get 6. I have him anywhere from 8 to 16 plus, but if you were to like bet me money right now, I'd say he gets at least 8.
Okay. I want to talk about, always got to bring up my boy. Obviously, I don't know why he's so freaking cheap, but Dan Bailey, I'm a big proponent. 4-for-4 actually has adjusted fantasy points against, and Dan Bailey's technically got he's tied for first with the best matchup for kickers this weekend. The other one is in the London game, and that's Jason Myers, so we don't have to worry about him. So on this slate, he has the best matchup.
Oh, definitely.
In San Francisco.
Definitely. San Francisco, high pace offense. High pace offense means that if they do three and out or six and out or whatever out they do, it's going to be with less time off the clock, which means even though Dallas runs a slower offense, they'll have the ball more often in theory. Even if it's just back and forth slugfest, that should be faster, meaning more chances for Dan Bailey. And the man, while he has missed this year, does not miss often. So any kick he usually gets is good, which is something you can't say about many kickers.
Yeah, I about
So
had a heart
he's,
attack when he missed
yeah.
this week.
He is a cash safe play, and at least the miss didn't, completely destroy Cowboys. So that's always a nice plus. I do have him as a cash play, 4,600. You're not gonna find really much safer of a road kicker to have a good chance at doing something. And I do like the San Francisco's at home because while they haven't been a tough defense, they always get a little boost from being at home, and that means maybe a few more kicks, especially with the rookie who's finally starting to come into his own and quarterback and running back. So I'm hoping we get a couple of stops, and if we get a couple of stops, especially with no Dez, that might even make it a little bit more run dependent at the red zone. And if that becomes the case, as we know, more run dependent means more kick available. So.
Yeah, let's not tilt me on Dez Bryant.
Oh, we're not going to tilt you on Dez Bryant. The man's going to come back soon and he'll be a beast, I promise you.
I know, but that's not the reason I was tilted. I've got a little it's just if you're a Cowboys fan, just go ahead and blame me for the Tony Romo and the Dez Bryant injuries of the last 2 years. So I've had to put my Color Rush Ezekiel Elliott jersey purchase on hold, just because I have to find some way to break this curse. So,
It's not your fault, Keith, I promise. We love
oh,
you.
it is my fault. I promise, and it is. I take full and 100% responsibility for this one. Let's see here. Do you have this guy on your list? Because I want to. Yep, you do. Okay, so let's find another one. I was going to ask you about Catanzaro. I mean, we've talked about Hopkins. Talked about Dan Bailey. Talked about Grant Gano. Justin. I mean, we've talked about a lot of these guys on your list. Let me. Who's your? Obviously, we don't. That's who it is. That's who it is. Let me just make sure here. Yep, I know who I'm asking about. Okay. This is who would you say is your quote unquote sneaky kicker this week? We don't normally have to try to predict or worry about ownership for kickers. But if somebody wanted to go like off the reservation,
Off the
give me
reservation
a, yeah.
with upside.
Oh yeah, I've got to have upside, brother. I've got to have upside.
Honestly, probably the best option for upside, while not being somebody. Lambeau's probably going to be well thought of because he's against New Orleans at home. If I were to go off the list.
No, you can go. You can stick to the list.
If I was sticking to the list, Novak's my favorite pick.
Okay.
Houston versus Tennessee, 4,500. Everybody in 4,500s will be buying Hopkins. He's got 12.5 point per game average, and that's with one game where he wasn't used, so that one doesn't count. But so, anyways,
It counts
I
against his
think
average, though.
no, because they didn't actually give him the game because he never even set foot on the field, so
Oh, well,
they
that's
didn't.
gay.
So yeah, 12.5, 2 out of 3. I mean, that's with just the two games because they didn't play at all. So you have to know that one. But anyways, FanDuel's doing that with anybody who doesn't play. Zuerlein, for example, from that first game is just at two games, even though he was there. I mean, he would probably be my off the my, if I wasn't going with somebody big name, that was probably my off the wall pick. You could go Parke from Cleveland.
No.
Well, you could.
No.
Yeah, you can.
No.
I'm telling you, you can.
No, 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 no. I am not going to. Oh, no. No, no, no. He is the reason the Cleveland Browns did not win last week.
Yeah, well, kickers tend to do better the next week after they fuck up.
Do they?
You're asking me to find your. I don't
know. He's 3 for 6. Yeah, he still got you 12 points, but he's 3 for 6. All right, here's we're talking way too much. There are two players that are fantasy relevant on the.
Give me your players.
There are two players that are fantasy relevant on the Cleveland Browns, and neither one of them is the freaking kicker.
Although I wouldn't be off the wall.
Although,
you said you wanted something off the wall. That shit's
off the wall, off of your list. But although I wouldn't put it past Terrell Pryor to be able to make a field goal.
The match, yeah, probably. The matchup isn't actually that bad, which is the only reason he would even be considered.
Yeah, like I said, I would have put it past Terrell Pryor to be able to, you know, kick a field goal.
This man did everything else. Shit, why not?
Right. So, all right. So, we've got basically four games that everybody's kind of looking at this weekend. We've got New Orleans and San Diego. We've got Cleveland and Washington. We got Carolina, Atlanta, and Detroit and Chicago. You have Graham Gano on here. Why do you not have Matt Bryan? This is your off the wall, or this is your podcast only kicker. Because I think that Matt Bryant is in a fantastic spot because it's not like the Carolina defense isn't talented enough to stop the Arizona the Atlanta Falcons from scoring touchdowns. But you're looking at still a controlled environment, which is one of our big check marks, especially going into the winter months. You're looking at a higher scoring game. He's one of the most accurate kickers from long ranges, and he's affordable.
Yeah, and
why do you hate Matt Bryant?
I don't hate Matt Bryant. How many kicks this year has he had from 50 plus yards? It's an easy answer. It looks like a zero.
Oh, a goose egg then.
Uh-huh. How many kicks has he had from over 40 yards? It looks the same as the 50 yard. So here's the problem with Bryant. He's 6 for 6, which isn't a bad number, except for the fact that he's only kicked 6 field goals, 4 of which have come from under 29 yards, or well, under 30 yards. He has 4 from 30, or 4 from under 30, and then 2 from over 30. Nothing under 19. He does get plenty of extra points.
Let me ask you this on that spot right there, because I this is a serious question to kind of think about it. Is that because of lack of opportunity or lack of trust from the coaches that he can't hit from that range? Because if it's just lack of opportunity, then I'm willing to kind of say, okay, well, as Chop would say, variance should swing back in his favor eventually. But if it's because the coaches don't have any confidence in the power of his leg with the accuracy from long, those type of distances, then we got a problem. And then I have no problems just succumbing to the kicking guru and bowing and kissing your feet.
I'd have to see how off where the team's punting from. I didn't do any research on him, so to know whether or not it's not that it's a bad play. Atlanta's been doing really good job of scoring the ball. It boils down to Boswell's failures in the first 2 weeks. Pitt moved the ball too well. Atlanta's moving the ball too well. But even last week against New Orleans, where they were up, they were running the ball, they were punting away, they weren't taking any chances. Man ended up with 9 points, which isn't bad. I mean, he technically could have ended up with more if they would have just kicked the field goal instead of taking a knee at the end of the game. He's very consistent, 10-9-9. But he also did 10 against Tampa Bay. He did 9 against Oakland. He did 9 against New Orleans. I mean, that's 18th ranked defense as of right now, 31st ranked defense as of right now, and 30th ranked defense as of right now. Carolina ranks in at 3rd with the 5th versus pass. 5th versus pass. That's a hard one to get out. 10th versus rush, which means... It's not that Atlanta is a complete fade. It's not that Bryant's a complete fade. It's not that Bryant can't do good. I could easily see Atlanta moving the ball and then stalling out near the red zone, and he gets a few more kicks. He definitely has the ability to hit from 50 yards, but they haven't put him out for any yet. Is that because they've been either in touchdown-dependent games or because they just haven't needed to? I don't know. I don't get to watch a lot of Atlanta games. Even this last Monday Night Football game, I got to watch it on my phone through the ESPN app because I work on Monday nights. And, of course, I get off work right as the game ends, so that's always fun. But anyways, with that said, it's not that Bryant is a bad play. You have an offense who should be able to move the ball. You have a pretty good defense. You should at least slow them down. But I'm not going to put a kicker on my list who's against three soft matchups has given me less than 11 points when he's going in against a tough matchup. Like I said, Carolina has not been the same defense, and they might not be the same that they were last year, but they're still doing pretty good at shutting down people. I guess shutting down is the wrong word. They're doing good at screwing people's game plans. So
game flowing out the kicker.
Yeah, Bryant could, but what happens if Carolina, who should be pissed off from letting Minnesota flip and destroy them at home, I don't think the kicker's going to be needed from the Falcons, because I think they're going to be touchdown dependent most of the game. I see this game going quickly in New Orleans or in Carolina's favor, and then the Falcons doing a lot of work to make up for it, and keeping it close enough that everybody stays in play, but not close enough that the kicker is the person they call at 50 yards.
Okay. I'm not going to argue with anything that you said, because it's definitely something that is extremely, I don't want to say thought out, because like you said, you didn't do any research, but you know it, and you know the reasonings why. So to me, if it's lack of opportunity, then, you know, we can steal the phrase from Chop and say, okay, variance should eventually swing around in his favor, correct?
Correct. And if he's playing San Francisco, that's when I'm going to roll him out and take advantage of that variance swinging in his favor.
Exactly. But, you know, if it's not lack of opportunity, if it's because the team doesn't trust him from, from 45 plus or 40 plus, then we've got an issue, and that's the issue that we need to address. So, all right, you know, the first 2 weeks were, you know, I threw out good picks and had well thought, you know, things behind it. They worked out. This week, it's probably not going to work out so much. Not going to put any Matt Bryant shares in there, so don't have to worry about that. You successfully talked me off of them.
To be fair, that has only punted 10 times this season so far.
What's their average yard that they punt from? You probably can find that quicker than me.
The average punt is 41.5 yards.
But what's the average field position?
I'm trying to find it. This is the first time I've looked at this chart.
As we go down here, I'm just gonna, you know, keep bombarding you with kickers. Why do you never put Janikowski on there?
Which kicker?
Janikowski.
Oh, Oakland.
Sebastian. Sebastian.
Because he's not used. The man has 4 field goals attempts. Give me
Really?
more field
It
goal
seems like every
attempts.
time I it seems like every time I turn around, he's kicking a field goal. But I mean, I could be completely wrong.
No, every time you turn around, he's either kicking an extra point or kicking the ball off.
That's what it is.
He has 4 kick attempts on the year.
Maybe that's
give
what
me give
is.
Me more attempts and I'll give you more use. It doesn't tell me. This chart does not tell me.
If anybody knows of a place where we can find the average field position when a team decides to punt the ball, so we know, because that could, in theory, and this is where my crazy, stupid mind goes, in theory, we can sit there and look at it and go, okay, this is exactly why, you know, guys like Matt Bryant aren't getting it, you know, opportunities from 40 plus. It's not because they suck or that the team doesn't, you know, trust them. It's that they're getting either in the red zone or and scoring touchdowns, or they're not getting there and they're punting. So
I'm not gonna go through the box score. It wouldn't take that long, but it takes too long to do for the podcast.
Yeah, so,
that's for sure.
We don't need that.
Yeah. So you don't want me to go through individual game flow and I can read off exactly what happened the first 4 weeks or 3 weeks of the NFL season?
No, thank you, sir.
Okay. But no, I mean, like I said, here's the big thing. Kickers are
people
so
too.
Game flow dependent. They're people too. I've that's my tweeting message of the week. But here's the thing. They're so game flow dependent. At 4,600, I can pick Cantanzaro and I can pick Dan Bailey. I can go cheaper and I can pick up Hopkins. That's 3 kickers right there I would use before Bryant against Carolina. So why pick him? Like that's where my brain is. Like there's no need. Cantanzaro, Arizona should have that revenge narrative going again. LA, who the hell knows what team they are. So for 4,600,
you and Chop
GPP,
have this bias against. Yeah, I.
Well no. Here's what we've had from here. I don't know what the LA is going to be. They couldn't move the ball against San Francisco, a team that everybody's been able to move the ball against. Granted, it's a divisional rival, so divisional rival skews the results. We can't necessarily get a whole lot from that. They go to Seattle and they're able to move the ball. They're not able to score the ball well, but they were able to move the ball against a good defense. But again, it's a divisional rival who they've played well, even when Seattle was top defense. So that kind of gets thrown out the window. Then they go to Tampa Bay and just flip and destroy the hell out of Tampa Bay. So, okay, maybe against soft defenses we have something going, and they are starting to improve in the right direction. But now they come into Arizona, another divisional rival at home, who just got embarrassed on the road. It's not that I'm biased against LA. I just don't know what the team is. Because we've had 2 out of 3 matches be divisional rivals who always skew the results a little bit.
Let me let you know what the Los Angeles Rams are. They are a guy by the name of Todd Gurley. They're a above average defense, a tough matchup for one dimensional offenses, and a coach that will always for the remainder of his career finish either as close to the 8-8 mark as physically possible. He's 8-8. He's Jeff Fisher. He is 8-8. He is not going to. That's what that is. So if that means that he has to kick 5 field goals at 35 yards because they're loading up the box to stop Gurley and daring Case Keenum to breathe and throw the ball, then that's fine. But yeah, that's they're an average football team is what they are.
They've
got
some
nice pieces, especially on the defensive side and with Todd Gurley, but definitely nowhere close to competing for that division, in my opinion. Okay, one
theory,
last...
you could play zero line Arizona is weakest against the rush so far this season. Of course, they've had some pretty good running backs they've played against. But Gurley could definitely put Zerline back into being a potential, as long as they get a pass or two from them. But
nah, I'm good on that one.
Okay.
So
you could do it, though. I'm just telling you.
I know.
He has made one from every distance except for 0 to 19 yards. He's 4 for 4, and he has not kicked any. He's kicked one from every distance except for 19 and under.
There you go.
So, anyways, yeah, you were saying.
I'm good on that. Talk to me. I read somewhere this week, Heinz Field. I noticed that Cairo Santos is not on your list. And you would think in one of the higher totals that there would be that he would be in there, but I've heard that Heinz Field, especially the later we get into the year, and you know, after with the possibility of weather and the hard track and or the hard track, the tore up track, and all this other things, obviously that goes into it. The way they have that stadium built and the way that the wind kind of comes in and opens, there's one end of the field that is particularly difficult to kick because the wind kind of swirls. So they're saying that the only time that you should play a kicker in Pittsburgh is if it's Boswell, since he is used to kicking it and he knows how the wind is going to act.
Yeah. Santos is never a bad play. He was left off the list just for his price tag, being on the road, and being in a park that is hard to kick in. But he is a kicker who could easily overcome the whole issue. But again, at 4,900, like, so when I do my list, it's not that I'm trying to necessarily get you. Like, when I start my list, fun fact, I don't even actually go through gameplay. My list is comprised entirely of kickers I like just based off of matchup, just based off of what I know. I then later on go and check out Vegas lines on those kickers. I then remove, add, take away, add, go through that. But I start with, like, each tier. FanDuel has been really weird with pricing this year. Like I said, Hopkins is 4,500. I keep saying Hopkins, but here's why. Hopkins is, let's see, I have 16 FanDuel lineups running this week. 16 FanDuel lineups. And I have Hopkins in 6 of them. So that's why he keeps coming up. So anyways, as I'm going through the list, I'm looking at matchups. I'm looking at teams who might have lost a piece that'll make them a little bit harder to score, blah, 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 blah. So he's not on the list because at 4,900, I'd rather take Tucker or Gostkowski. For 4,800, I'd rather take McManus or Gano. So it's not that Santos becomes a bad play. It's not that Santos can't score points. He could easily be one of the 10 to 15 point people. But if I'm looking in that price range, I've got enough options right there. I mean, heck, I could drop to 4,700 and take Prater. 4,600, I'm in the bottom tier now. Take Bailey, Cat. Keep on driving. Mean, hell, I could take your Bryant pick. I could take 4,500 and go to Bryant and Novak, which basically just gave away my entire list. So go check out the list and read why I like them. But so that's where that came from. It's not so much that the field is going to be bad for him, because while one end is always bad to kick on, the other ain't. Boswell is one of my favorite kickers, so I don't care if you pick a kicker from that park, as long as you know there's always risk. Other kickers do well in the park, too. It just depends on where they get the ball when they get the kick, which side of the field they end up on.
Yeah, and it depends a lot on, you know, the weather at the time and stuff like that. I thought it was an interesting article, and that's why I kind of brought it
up. It's definitely an interesting one. It would be one that I'd definitely enjoy reading. If somebody who would, you know, find these articles would share them with me, that would be great, you know, but guess we're not friends anymore. We just do pods together, whatever. But no, it's at that price point. You have four kickers who are better options in that same price point in my book. So if you have four options who are better, why would you take the chance on Santos?
That is a very, very, very good point. So, all right. Any final thoughts you got?
Kickers are people too. Join me on Twitter as we kickers are people too. I haven't actually hashtagged that yet. I should have so hashtagged that. Anyways, I don't really have anything major for you. I do want to say Boswell is on my fade list. Everybody fade Boswell. Except for those who are listening to this podcast, you will now play him all in because since I faded him, he will finally turn it around. But no, that's all I got.
Alrighty. That's going to do it for Kicker's Corner this week. This is week 4. I am Boomer's daddy. That is Private Aaron. Let's go allow the kickers to be people. And, man, I hope that Dustin Hopkins wins me this Playboy Q. Or, sorry, Blair Walsh.
Blair Walsh, you got a good shot at it. You'd have had a better shot with Hopkins, but that's okay.
Yeah, but he's not the Monday Night Hammer.
No, but
I specifically did this because of the strategy. I had it in my notes to do this in a qualifier because of the strategy of the Monday Night Hammer when the opportunity arose that it was a good correlation play with the defense and a kicker.
This is just that week where Hopkins can hit 25 points. I'm not saying he will, but this is
I will have a lot of Hopkins in the Sunday only.
There you go. Make up the money difference.
Yep. So, all right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Hope you enjoyed this episode, and good night.
Good night, everybody.